are listening to Wells Tech, episode 629, recorded for Tuesday, May 19th, 2020. Put down the gradebook. Wells Tech is a podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Drake. Today on the show, we are glad to have rejoining us Professor Rachel Fell from Martin Luther College, talking about educational technology and what this summer looks like as we prepare for a maybe unpredictable start of school in the fall. Lots of things to consider, lots of questions, maybe not a lot of answers, but a great discussion. We have great ministry resources that Rachel brings to the table, a Wells Now and News and Tech section, some wonderful picks of the week that I think you'll find immediately useful, and lots of other great stuff coming up on Wells Tech. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is Martin Spriggs and a show about technology and ministry. Episode 629, we're recording on May 19th, 2020. With me on the show, as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. Happy to be joining you and also happy that it's an EdTech discussion week. That means we have a special guest host in our semi-regular classroom technology chair, technology expert chair. Is that what we call them?
I think it used to be correspondent, but I'm happy with expert because we have nothing but the best on this show.
Very true. And this week, that means that we have Professor Rachel Feld joining us from Martin Luther College. Welcome, Rachel.
Hello. Thank you. It's always great to be here.
Great to be here, but maybe a little bit of a stressful time. Those grades are due soon, aren't they?
Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., it will be okay.
Nothing
is what
to
I keep telling myself.
It's kind of like delivering the mail. It doesn't matter what's going on in the outside world. Grades still must be entered.
Yep. The administration was super nice. They gave us 2 extra days to get grades done, and I definitely needed those 2 extra days. So I'm thankful for that.
One of probably many things that had to change over the past couple months, I'm assuming.
Yes, indeed.
And that's kind of our topic, our ongoing topic, it seems, Martin. Since about mid-March, we've been talking a lot about changes in ministry, changes in schools as we all deal with a global pandemic. And kudos to teachers at every level. You've really shined throughout the process and you've earned a bit of a break. Summer has finally arrived and we're excited for you and hope that you take the opportunity to have some downtime and you know, kind of regroup from everything that's happened over the past few months. And I'm guessing at the same time, you'll begin to think about the future as well. That's kind of a question mark, I would guess, as the lull indicates.
Don't bother her. She's entering grades.
No, I turned off the grade entering. There definitely is, you know, a lot of planning that's going to have to go on this summer at, you know, both at MLC and at all of our grade schools. I echo your thoughts, Sally, that our teachers have just done an amazing job at what is a rather impossible situation. I never before thought I'd have to be talking to preschool teachers about how you teach preschool online, because the short answer is you don't. But here we are anyways. And so now that we have a chance to catch our breath, it is indeed an opportunity to really reflect on what we've done, not from a judging or, you know, assessing point, but more from a, okay, that happened, and now how can we learn from it?
I would imagine, Rachel, there's going to be a number of things that you're going to have to take into the next school year, but maybe one of the challenges is you're not quite sure what that looks like. So as you approach the summer and as our teachers approach the summer, you know, where do they start? What kind of questions are they needing to ask?
Yeah, That in and of itself is a great question. What questions do we need to ask? What is education going to look like? Can we have all of our kiddos back at MLC? It's can we have them all back on campus? Can and you know that's what we're definitely hoping for. And I'm sure all of our grade schools and high schools are hoping that they'll be able to have their kids back in their classrooms. But I think one of the big focuses needs to be flexibility. We were necessarily flexible, you know, this past semester when we had no other choice. But now it's how can we build in some flexibility to what we're doing and make it a little bit better in the event that we have to be online again? Or there are any number of reasons why either a teacher or a student might not be able to be in class in person. So adding a layer of flexibility to what we're doing can really help to support other people when they're not able to be on campus or in the classroom.
I'm assuming there's going to be, even if we start on time and the schools are kind of business as usual, I would assume there's going to be more absenteeism than there ever was before, because we're really telling them, if you've got the sniffles, you know, don't be coming to school. And parents are hopefully going to take heed and do that. So I would think that there's going to be a big challenge there as we're trying to minister to and teach those kids, and many of them are not going to be as, you know, 100% attendees as maybe they used to be.
Oh, absolutely. I remember from teaching first and second grade, you know, we had the 24-hour fever-free guideline. And parents saying, you know, they've been fever free, not quite 24 hours, but goodness, they're driving me crazy because they're not really sick. They just have a fever. Can they please, please, please come back to school? And the answer then was no. And the answer now has to be an even stronger no.
Right.
Of if you have those symptoms, you can't. We can't have you in the classroom. Or, you know, how many times have teachers pushed through when they didn't feel well because the idea of writing sub plans can give you nightmares. and that just, you know, for the health and safety of everyone at school, that just can't be a thing anymore. So how can we do some pre-planning in this summertime to make it a little bit easier either to have those electronic sub plans ready, or so that students can participate in alternative things online. You know, all of those bring with them a mind-boggling amount of work. But if I know one thing about teachers, I know they'll do anything for their kids.
I was going to say, does that double or triple the effort necessary?
I really think it does. That was something we talked about with the faculty at MLC, was that teaching online, it sounds like it's easier, but it's not. It takes a lot more effort on both the instructors and the students. And so we have to make sure we have some really solid expectations. In talking with various teacher friends around the Synod, and also being a member of some Facebook groups and things, I've seen everything from, you know, just assigning all the regular work and it all counts like it normally did, to teachers saying, yep, here are a couple of activities and they're optional and we're not giving any grades. And I'm not about to say either of those is right or wrong, because you had to make really split second decisions. But now that we have the opportunity to stand back and say, okay, how really are we going to do this? Because we can't just not give grades forever, although that's another discussion we could have someday. There has to be some sort of understood expectation among the administration, the teachers, the students, the parents, that if we go online for one day or several days, these are what our expectations are going to be.
Yeah, and I think you have to have the online expectations, but you also, different than this spring, have to have the hybrid expectations, the idea that maybe some are in class, maybe you have half the students at once in a face-to-face class, and all of the changes that need to go on the physical face-to-face side around keeping them socially distant and wearing masks and all those kind of things, rules and expectations. And kids aren't great at that kind of stuff, I don't think. So that's another whole aspect of it, is the hybridness of it.
Definitely. I can't imagine trying to, can name a couple of students who for the life of them would not keep their shoes on their feet. And for safety reasons, you had to have your shoes on in the classroom. I can't imagine trying to make them keep a mask on their face.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about having to keep a mask on my face, but here we are. So there will be many new challenges.
Maybe if we take a look at it from the tech standpoint, in the classroom space, I would think, especially if you're doing hybrid, you've got to be able to have things a lot more electronic than maybe you would have in the past, even if, you do have some students face to face or whatever. And you've got to have some flexibility to perhaps keep the students in one place and move to a different classroom to teach a different set of students rather than shuffling students around all the time. So there's definitely some tech considerations that schools should be making this summer as well.
Definitely. I think if I were to be teaching in a first and second grade classroom again next year, one of the first things I might do is start looking at how can I teach you some basic tech skills and set up something like Google Classroom, and, make sure parents are on board and understand it. Not so much that we would use it every single day, but for the day that child is sick, or the week that we have that there's a outbreak or something like that, that flexibility is right there. Because I know for a lot of teachers, the struggle really came from, I can use all these tools, but my students can't. And maybe their parents are having a hard time figuring them out too. And that, if you're in a distance learning situation, that is very difficult to overcome. You can make a lot of videos and those kind of things, but if the students don't have those skills, that is a very significant barrier to overcome. And that barrier really starts getting in the way of your learning objectives. It's very hard for them, for our students to focus on the actual learning when the tech is challenging. And so anything we can do to make the tech less challenging so that those learning objectives, because that's the important part of our teaching is the learning, so that those can shine through and that the tech almost becomes invisible. It's not a big deal. It's just, what they're used to. I think those will be some important moves to make in our classrooms in fall.
So, Rachel, as you think about what the summer looks like for a lot of these elementary school, especially faculties, how did they get there? There is obviously a number of decisions to be made. And speaking specifically of technology and classroom management systems and getting assignments online and delivering some content digitally, is that something that the group, let's say the faculty, comes together and brainstorms, and then maybe a smaller group sets some standards, or a smaller group props up some ideas and runs it past everybody to get feedback, and then everybody kind of goes down the same path? Because I've seen it the other way, where everybody is kind of set, told, you need to prepare for this, and the tools aren't there, and it just kind of degenerates into a kind of a mess. So there needs to be some structure to this, I'm thinking.
Oh, definitely. And it'll depend on your faculty. A larger high school faculty would definitely be better served by your tech director and a few key players making some decisions. A smaller faculty, I'm thinking especially of a faculty that has, you know, one teacher per grade level or one teacher for every two grade levels. There are a lot of grade level implications right. for the tools you choose.
Yep.
And so what you decide to do in eighth grade is not necessarily going to work in second grade. So working together to be as consistent as possible while still understanding that not every kid is the same, not every grade level is the same, is going to be really important.
Yeah. So if you came out of summer with some general standards and that built-in flexibility, the ability to go hybrid or go fully online if the circumstances demand it, seems like that would be some pretty hopeful goals for this summer, this pandemic summer.
I definitely think those are, you know, some doable goals. And those are things that I'm sure had any faculty had the opportunity to, you know, sit down for a month before this all happened, they would have had those conversations. But that just wasn't something we could do. So doing that proactively, we get the chance to reflect mm-hmm. on what worked and what didn't work and use those experiences and also the experiences of the schools around you, both public and private. Reach out to, there's a Facebook group and other groups and social media, figure out what other people are doing. And I've been really proud of our teachers for sharing all sorts of resources. And if you see someone that's doing something awesome, you know, reach out. Send an email, say, hey, can you explain this to me? Or maybe even, could you have a Google Meet with our faculty? Because, you know, everyone needs another Google Meet in their lives. But,
that's for a good
you
cause.
Know, if you, exactly. Or use Zoom and then you can, you know, have cool backgrounds and all that
make
kind
it fun,
of fun stuff.
Right?
Exactly. But if you spend like half an hour or something with someone who has some ideas just to get a fresh perspective, I would definitely be happy to do that with any of our high school, grade school faculty members. I'm sure there are other people on campus who would too. Sometimes you just need a fresh set of ears to hear your plans and say, yep, that sounds like a good idea, to really go forward with them.
One thought that struck me as you were talking, Rachel, and maybe it's just a benefit that we can take out of this crazy time, and that is, I bet there's a lot of teachers that wouldn't have trusted themselves to even have an opinion or to come to the table and discuss this kind of topic. And now they have a lot of experience, you know, trial by fire. And they do have, you know, things they liked and things they didn't like and things that are going to shape this future a lot better than just following what someone dictates to you or whatever. So I think the conversations are going to be good.
Yeah, and I've, you know, some of the techie type people that I converse with have said maybe this was kind of the push that the education world needed to really consider how technology could be transformative, because we had no other option mm-hmm. but to use technology. I know on our campus here at MLC, there were several people who haven't had that experience before. And now, having had that experience, are able to say, you know, this was really great. I might keep using this particular tool, but at the same time, this part was terrible, and I never want to do that again. And those are both totally valid points because
and great takeaways.
Some online learning is great, and some is not.
Right. So we will put a link to some of those resources. That is certainly one of the blessings of being in a synod like ours, where people are willing to share and we're a close-knit group and people are sharing those wins and losses. And that's really helpful to consider at all different levels and all different circumstances. So hopefully this conversation was at least get people thinking. It's hard to give answers in a conversation like this because we don't even really always know what the questions are. And I think that's going to be one of the challenges this summer is for people trying to figure out, you know, what do we really need to be thinking about? We only have a few months, and that's going to go by really quickly. I think by and large, people really just need a nice long vacation too this summer, you know, rather than jumping right into it. You know, it's been a hard spring. So people ought to, you know, decompress a little bit, come back at it, and then maybe with a fresh mind, figure out what the next school year looks like as well.
By the way, I read an article today, I think, that said travel is booking up. You know, Airbnbs are very popular again all of a sudden. People are seeing that they're going to have some freedom. And so if you want to decompress somewhere in particular, you better start making those reservations now.
Yep. All right. Very good. Thanks for the discussion. I think that's really helpful. Good stuff. It'd be interesting to see how the summer unfolds for everybody, not just teachers, but pastors, staff ministers, lay leaders within the congregation, trying to figure out how all this is going to go. Mm-hmm. God will give us strength and the resources. He always does. Speaking of resources.
Perfect segue.
Ministry resources, a little segment in our show where we try and find items that are useful for people in all kinds of ministry contexts. And we got a chock full of them here.
Yeah, we thought we'd pick Rachel's brain since we're having this discussion, that this will be a good time for her to share some of the things she might recommend schools take a look at for different reasons.
Sure. So there are a couple different webinar type things that are happening now that different tech people outside of the Synod have just kind of said, hey, we should help teachers with this. And I've been trying to, you know, watch as many as I can as I'm doing other things. But it's been really, really helpful to me. And so two of my favorites, Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook. He has a YouTube channel that's linked in the show notes, and he's been doing a series of webinars with a bunch of different people. I think he had Alice Keeler on one and just some other people from all around the educational world, and just they kind of get together and talk about a topic for, you know, 45 minutes, and just some good stuff to get your faculty, get yourself thinking. Talk about assessment, instruction, communication, all sorts of great stuff. And then Google also has some webinars from their Google EDU on Air. And right now they're working through a Thrive with Five series. And so if you were hoping to expand your Google knowledge, the Thrive with Five series, these are free too. They are focused on Google Meet, Classroom, Doc, Forms, Slides, and Sites.
Which
and
is six,
for
by
each
the way.
Of those five. Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, why did they call it five then?
I don't know.
Huh, because it sounds good.
With a bonus. How about that?
So for each of those, they're doing a kickstart session, which is kind of a intro session and then a next level session. You can watch those live, or you can watch the recording of them. And again, just it's always good to pick up a few ideas, maybe see some features that you didn't know, and use those in your classroom next year.
Good. All right. Then we probably can move on to our next segment. And by the way, if you listen to Wells Tech regularly, we're just mixing up the order today just to kind of keep you on your toes. So next up, we want to talk about Wells Now because it fits right into our discussion as well. And Rachel, you have an exciting announcement coming out of MLC to share with our listeners.
I do. So our continuing education office was, you know, getting some requests because teachers and faculty have been having many of the same questions we talked about earlier in the show and wondering if MLC had anything to help out. And indeed we do. So in addition to our typical lineup of continuing ed and graduate courses, of which there are many because they're online, so they're good to go. So please check those out. But we're also starting what we're calling Open Learning at MLC. And this is going to be a virtual teachers conference. We're holding it June 16th and 17th, and it will be free.
Ooh, I like the price tag.
So it's online. We're going to have different presenters, both from MLC and from around the Synod, who are going to offer about, 45 minutes of a session and some time for discussion. This summer, we're going to focus especially on online learning, remote learning, and what that might look like next year. Our hope is that in future summers, we'll be able to do the same thing, but with a different focus. So that's June 16th and 17th this summer, and there is info about that on the MLC website. It is free. You could grab your faculty in a large enough room for social distancing and view together, or watch from your back porch or your living room. They will be recorded, and we'll have them available for a little while after the conference. Not forever, but for a little while. And we are also hoping to offer clock hours. So if that's something that helps you get your license renewed or things of that nature, that will be available.
So yeah, I'm looking at the schedule, Rachel. Over those 2 days, there'll be 3 sessions on each day. It looks like alternative assessment, establishing and enhancing school to home communication, and then digital strategies for a multi-grade classroom are 3 of the sessions. And then there are sessions specific to grade levels. There's a digital learning in preschool presented by our favorite, Rachel Feld. Yay. Preschool through 2nd grade, I should say. I didn't read the full title. And then there's a 3rd through 6th grade session and a 7th through 12th grade session. Just looks like a great lineup and something that speaks to teachers at every level.
It should be great. And I will be joined by our wonderful early childhood professor, Jen Melberg, because I know 1st and 2nd grade, but she knows preschool. So between the two of us, we should have the early childhood ages covered.
Excellent. Excellent. Looking forward
What's the
to
technology,
it.
Rachel, that they're going to be using to get that online? Do you know?
Right now, we're probably we're looking at using something called Big Blue Button. And it's an open source video web conferencing platform that we use in our online courses.
Works with Moodle, I'm assuming, right?
Yep, it does. And so thankfully we have Bob Martins and other very smart people who are able to set those kinds of things up in a flash.
Sure, it'll go well. That's exciting. A new step for MLC to kind of do this, and a necessary one. Sounds really interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
On the news. Oh, we got more wells now. Yes. Go ahead,
yes.
Sally.
Yes. Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary graduation assignments are coming up this week. That will be Thursday morning, April 21st, starting at 10 a.m. They'll do graduation and then go right into the announcement of graduate and vicar assignments. And yours truly will be tuned in, as we have a son who will be, God willing, assigned as a vicar this year. So looking forward to that. Boy, I heard amazing reviews of the MLC graduation and assignment. Just so much happiness shared around those 2 live streams. And I think it was just really well done. So I'm sure WLS will have a great graduation assignment program as well. And then finally, we want to make mention, Wells, now of the Grow in Grace area. This is continuing education, specifically a course that's coming up with educational technology in mind, and that is educational technology for the catechism classroom, taught by Pastor Paul Waldschmidt. He's going to be teaching that online this summer from June 15th through August 7th, and you can register on the Grow in Grace website. There's information there. And the registration, I believe the deadline is coming up at the end of this month, May 28th. So if you're interested in ed tech for catechism, this is the place to be.
Yeah, he told me he kind of accelerated that course. They had asked him to teach it in 2021. But with obviously the circumstances as they are, this is probably a very timely topic for pastors as they're trying to figure out maybe how this looks, how EdTech plays into catechism these days too. So take advantage of that. There is more news, just kind of our regular news and tech segment. Some kind of sad news, Sally.
Yeah, I was surprised to get this email. This came from our friends at YouVersion, the people behind the popular Bible app and lots of things around the Bible app, including an app called Bible Lens. And unfortunately, Bible Lens has seen its end date. It actually will be stopping on May 31st. So even if you have it installed, the app is no longer going to work at the end of this month. YouVersion announced that they launched the Bible Lens app in 2018 to reveal scripture in your life's special moments. So it would actually take pictures from your photos on your smart device, your phone or tablet or whatever, and it would overlay relevant Bible verses to kind of go along with pictures. So I just looked through a list of them on my phone, and there was a verse about working, and it had picked up a picture of someone doing some woodworking that was in my photo library, or a verse about a tree planted by streams of water, and it had found a picture of water in my photo library and put that verse, overlaid that verse for me. So it was pretty neat intelligence at play there. I don't know, Martin and Rachel, if you use Bible Lens or not, but it's going away.
From time to time, yeah, it was really neat and smart as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of as an alternative, maybe not exactly the same and not certainly Bible-focused. We've talked about things like Adobe Spark in the past. There's a product or sub-product there called Spark Post, which will take images and overlay text. So you can have to cut and paste the text, and it will do some smart looking for images, but produces very professional-looking themes as well. So that might be something that you might want to try as well if you're looking for something to take its place. But it's kind of sad to see this go.
Yeah. YouVersion actually has images built into the Bible app as well. So if you're reading a particular verse, you can highlight it. And one of the options is to create a verse image from that. And you can go drill through, you know, your own photos or use some of the stock photography they provide. I think the thing about the Bible Lens that made it so unique was that it had this intelligence about it,
right,
that it would match up. And, you know, they're developing other things. They've got prayer, a new option with prayer, and verse of the day stories. And so they're going to put their development efforts in those new directions instead of continuing Bible Lens.
Very good. We're at the point in the show where we go around the room and we ask for picks of the week. It's kind of a little bit like show and tell. Mm-hmm. Rachel, you want to lead us off? Picks of the week.
Sure. Don't kids always get to fight over who goes first?
It's always the guest in our little classroom.
That's so nice. I feel like the line leader for the week. My pick for this week is kind of two picks, so I'm sorry if I'm cheating. But it's an app called PDF Expert, and I've been using that in combination with my Apple Pencil and obviously my iPad Pro for grading. And one of the drawbacks that I've had more than one instructor go, what are we supposed to do about this, of online learning, is that it can be kind of tricky to give feedback, especially on longer written assignments. You can open them in Word and add the comments and things like that, but in my opinion, and the opinion of many people I know, there's nothing better than just printing it out and writing with a regular old red or purple or blue pen. And that is almost replicated when I use these two apps together. So PDF Expert is a PDF viewer. It's also a PDF editor and annotator. And what I especially like about it is how easy it is to share files between my iPad and my computer. So I can use, I use iCloud because I'm using Apple products, but you can also use Google, or I believe it uses Dropbox or OneDrive or SharePoint or a bunch of other different ways. So I can very easily download assignments from our learning management system, put them in the right file and they automatically show up on my iPad. And then using my Apple Pencil, I can circle and highlight and write on them just like I would for a regular paper. Then it automatically gets synced right back up to my iCloud, and I can, on my desktop, drop it back in the learning management system. And doing that has really saved a lot of time, I think, for me, and let me give feedback in a way that makes the most sense in my brain.
So, Rachel, what documents are you grading? Are these PDFs or are they Word docs? How are assignments submitted? And do you have to go through some kind of conversion process?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the student. Okay. I don't have really strict requirements. So I typically get either a Word doc, a Google doc, or a PDF. But in PDF Expert, if I have a Google Doc or a Word doc, it can automatically change it into a PDF for you.
Okay, that's nice. Okay.
And then I can write on top of it, which is really nice. And then it'll let you flatten the annotations right onto the PDF so that they can't easily be edited. Or you can not flatten them and then have the option to change things later. It isn't free. There is a free version that works pretty well, but I did upgrade to the paid version. It's $50 a year, which obviously is not cheap, but in my line of work is worth it. They also have like a Mac or a Windows app, and that one is $80, but not a yearly thing. But if you say you're an educator, they will send you a code for half off.
Nice.
So that goes down to $40, which is not bad. So those are two of my tools right now that I would not want to be without.
Sounds like a neat workflow.
Very good. All right. My
turn. Sally, you're up.
All right. Then I am going to just point people to an article I read recently from our friends at Trello. And Trello, if you're not familiar, is a kind of a project management tool. It's all cloud-based, so you're working with it through a browser typically, although they have a mobile app and everything. And it allows you to create tasks and organize them in different ways. It has a lot of different capabilities. It's pretty flexible. Labels and all kinds of power-ups that allow you to interact with other software and things. So having used Trello probably, I think, 5+ years now that we've been using Trello as a team in our technology office, I can tell you that it's a versatile tool that could be used in a lot of different ways. And this particular article is geared toward teachers and how you can use Trello as a teacher to educate from anywhere, it says. So it gives you a list of a lot of different ideas. And, you know, they're kind of all over the board, different boards that you could use for communication within your faculty for collaboration and things like that, communication with parents. So perhaps you regularly put things on your Trello boards that they can reference to see what the assignments are or things like that, and even communication with students. They suggest that you can use Trello in your planning process. So it could be your block plan or whatever. You could do it all digitally with cards and lists and things in Trello. And then they also even suggest that you could use it for assessment or for tracking assessment. So, you know, cards for each student and moving them between different lists so you can get kind of a visual of where everybody is on the spectrum of possibilities. And all of these suggestions are tied up neatly in this article. We'll include a link in the show notes. And not just that, but many of them have sample boards that you can just make a copy of and begin to use. So it kind of would jumpstart you doing one or more of these different ideas and, you know, give you something to play with, give you a starting point that you can reference. And then, like I said, very versatile, very flexible. You can make it your own, rename, reorganize, ditch what you don't like and make it work for you. So Trello is really great about providing templates like that. And they've even linked to other articles that are specific about each one of these different ideas and things. One of the articles that I thought was a great bonus, and actually it's a templated board, is a board called Quarantine Things to Do board. And so you can go there and copy their quarantine things to do. And it has ideas for kids and adults and things to read and things to just keep you busy in a variety of ways. So if you're looking for an idea list, things to do for fun, for self-care, for exercise, among coworkers, specifically for education, it's just a starting point kind of board that you can use for to-do ideas. So that's just one little bonus that's part of this article that I thought everyone could probably benefit from. So
very
check
nice.
It out. Make a copy if you want.
Yeah, Trello, one of those tools that has so many uses. And, you know, the blog that Trello produces is kind of a good thing to follow as well, because it just kind of sparks some interesting ideas like they did here. So cool. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. My pick of the week is more a tip of the week. And this is something I stumbled on. I don't know where I found it, but it was, I think, in a blog post or a YouTube video, something like that, on a bunch of different Windows tips and tricks. And this has really been an eye-opener for me. And this is, I know there have been third-party tools that do this as well, but this is kind of a clipboard history tool. And built into Windows 10 is this ability to clip many things and then be able to retrieve them, not just the last clipped item. So everybody kind of knows the Control-C, Control-V process, you know, on a Windows machine. Where it copies and then you want to paste it, you hit Control V. So it's going to take whatever's on your clipboard one at a time. But very oftentimes it's helpful to be able to cut and paste a series of things. So if you're in one document and you want to cut and paste one paragraph and then another sentence and then another piece, you're having to go flip back and forth to get all that stuff done. What this does, it allows you to use the Windows key V combination. So rather than Control V, you use Windows key V, and it will show you what things are on a series of things that are on your clipboard. Now, the first time you hit Control V, it's going to probably ask you, do you want to enable this? Because it is not enabled by default. And you can go into settings and enable it, but maybe the easiest way is just to hit Control V. Say, yeah, I want to enable it, and there are different options that you can set it. You can forget everything that's on there for the next day, you know, or reboot, whatever. So there are some things, some control you have over it. But then when you go to paste, you hit Control V, and then you see this list of different things that are on your clipboard, and you can scroll, you can favorite things or pin things that you want to kind of stay at the top, and just kind of a neat way to collect a bunch of different things for a series of pastes rather than just the one at a timer. So I'll put a link in the show notes to a blog post about how this works and how to enable it, and also a link to a YouTube video where the gal who did the tips does a really nice job of talking through 10 of the what she finds the most useful features of Windows 10 today. So, and this is where I think I found one of these, and I'm going to share another one in a couple weeks. But good tip, I think, for anybody who does a lot of control C-ing and control V-ing.
That's so, Martin, my tip I have of the week. A true confession to make. I was stalking you. I opened up this planning OneNote that we use for the show, and I saw your tip in there, and I immediately, yesterday morning, I think, went and turned it on, and I've been using it ever since. I was just a very happy person to see that there. So I got the insider scoop, and I'm a true fan. So
it's a neat tool. They've implemented it nicely. It's real easy to remember. So rather than just Control V, use the Windows V key. So it's not a series of contortions you have to go through to get your fingers to do the right thing. So it's actually very cool.
Yep, cool Windows V. That's the keystroke you need to remember. It's pretty sweet. I was very happy.
Good.
When I found it.
Brighten somebody's day.
There you go.
All right, let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
Yeah, a couple of things we're sharing here, just some great discussions that people are having. And many of them are around our COVID-19 circumstances, believe it or not. The first one we want to share is an article. This is from Carrie Newhoff, and it's titled, "Are Churches Behaving Like Malls in the Age of Amazon? Just Hoping for People to Shop Again." And I think it's just some good food for thought. One of the things that it mentions in the article is that many people thought that this was just an interruption and not a total disruption, like things are going to be different afterwards. And I think his whole goal of the article is to make you realize, as a church leader, things are going to be different, or they should potentially be different, not just, oh, we took 2 months off and now we can meet again and things will go back to normal, but that there is this whole ministry that can be done digitally and that is reaching a lot of people, maybe people that it wouldn't have normally reached because of the pandemic and the shift of the way we've worshiped and things over the last few months. So definitely some good food for thought. I think we could discuss this on and on and on. I will include a link to a great group of people who are over on the Wells Intersections Facebook group, where they discussed it on and on. There's a lot of great comments and food for thought that they shared. And I think we'll hear more and more about this as churches are beginning to open back up their doors. And what is ministry going to look like now that this is disrupted? So. And speaking of disruptions, there was several conversations on the Wells Tech Google group recently, one about someone who was having audio issues with streaming, where he's getting good audio quality on his DVD and things, but his live streaming quality is not as good. And there's a lot of great tech-minded people on that discussion group. If you aren't there, be sure to join the Wells Tech Google group and ask your questions, because there were plenty of people who were willing to jump in and assist with different hardware and software type recommendations to improve audio quality. And just today, as a matter of fact, there was another question asked by someone who wanted to include what he called a connection card, or like a friendship register, with their live streaming to know who's logged in, who's watching and things like that. And already many people have chimed into that conversation as well. One that I took note of, a pastor said, "I just share my number and ask them to text me and let me know that they were listening. And I've gotten, some great connections that I can now text with," and things like that. So, I mean, there's a wide variety of ideas out there around how to do this. Great things being shared. So if you're looking for solutions for that, be sure to tune into that conversation in the Wells Tech Google group as well. We had a voicemail this time, Martin.
Yay!
That's always exciting. I don't know if you have it queued up to play.
I don't, but we'll insert it. We'll insert it here, and then we can discuss it.
Hello, my name is Pastor David Schmidt. I serve St. John's Lutheran Church in Dowagiac, Michigan. We are considering options to reopen for worship, and one suggestion was made that we put together a survey so that the congregation members can tell us where they're at with comfortability with coming back to worship. I'm wondering if there is a platform online that we can use for a survey of the congregation that would be very accessible, especially to those who may not feel comfortable with technology, something that I could include a link in an email to the survey that they could then fill out. If you could get back to me, I'd appreciate it. My phone number is 701-333-9324. That's my cell phone, 701-333-9324, or my email is pastorschmidt@gmail.com, pastorschmidt@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Lord's blessings.
So we thank Pastor David Schmidt from St. John in Dowagiac, Michigan, for contacting us. I did email Pastor Schmidt and send him a couple of example surveys that were done using JotForm and Google Forms. So there are lots of form tools out there, and really it's just going to take kind of jumping in and giving it a try, but they're fairly intuitive to get started with. Google Forms is free if you have a Google account. You don't have to have your parishioners sign in or anything like that. They don't have to have an account to take the survey. So it's just a matter of kind of jumping in and taking it. And I think it's pretty easy to do. So hopefully that was a help to Pastor Schmidt.
Very good.
And then I threw one more in community feedback because I thought this was just too cute not to mention. It's actually from Teachers Pay Teachers, and just a fun little idea that I saw floating around, a flat teacher adventure where this gal actually used her Bitmoji avatar, which is something that's really popular these days. She used some of her full body and printed them and laminated them and mailed them to her students and told them to take her on an adventure. And she even included like a little bingo card to get photos with her reading a book with them, or, you know, going on a walk with them or whatever. And I just thought that was a really fun idea. And I'm sure it could spark other ideas that are similar, but make yourself a flat teacher and send it off to your students for some fun activities.
That is actually cool. I love that.
A free download on Teachers Pay Teachers, so you don't have to pay her for it even. It's just a simple little Google slide deck that you'll get access to where you can replace your image from Bitmoji or from wherever with hers, and you'll have a great start to being a flat teacher yourself. And it doesn't have to be just teachers. So
cool. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for community feedback. If you would like to contribute to the show, either via voicemail, email, get on our show notes page and leave a comment, show social networks, best place to go is wellstech.wells.net. That's our show notes page. You'll find all that stuff there. You'll find all previous shows, the ability to connect with us, all the resources we talk about, and even videos of the week, like we got one coming up right now.
And Rachel, I think you're responsible for this one, kind of a continuation of one of your ministry resources.
Yeah, so this is from the Ditch That Textbook webinar series. Matt Miller talked about unique online learning assessment ideas with Holly Clark. Holly Clark is a national board certified teacher and a Google guru. She is the author of the Google Infused Classroom. And then they also talked with Kelly Hilton, who's the co-creator of HyperDocs, which is a pretty cool way to use Google Docs and other tools in the classroom. So I watched this particular webinar, and they just had some really great thoughts on assessment and thoughts that could definitely go beyond just online learning, but just assessment in general. So definitely think it's worth the listen.
Very good. So that'll be on the show notes page as well. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we've hit summer, and that usually means that Wells Tech has some kind of summer theme, and we'll be talking about that more in our next show, which will come out in a couple of weeks. We plod on through the summer, and it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. Whether you're a podcaster, teacher, pastor, lay leader, doesn't matter. We all have opportunities ahead, I'm very sure. So thank you, Rachel, for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time once again. Great insights, and we love your perspectives on education.
Happy to contribute whenever I can, especially when I get to step away from correcting.
I was thinking about those grades. Good luck with that.
Now back to work.
Indeed.
Right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.